The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And our expert this morning, Terrence A. Gross, attorney with Gross & Schuster. How are you, sir? It's great to hear from you this week.
Doing great. And, I had a great holiday. And, snapper season's opened. And I'm a big bottom fisherman. So I went out actually 3 days in a row. So I'm back at work to rest. I have to rest for my weekend, so I'm resting.
Well, great.
But I always come with a topic. Everybody knows I'm a personal injury lawyer by now. I've been doing this for 45 years, and I've seen so many trends. I've seen so much in 45 years as I look back. And one of the biggest differences today versus when I started out in 79 is that there's a big difference in the amount of cases that go to trial. Back in the old days, quite a few went to trial. I mean, I tried cases. I was always in court, always in the courtroom, even with motions and this. I pretty much had to wear a suit every day because I was going. Of course, back then also, I did do divorces. I did criminal as well. But when we talk about personal injury, there were some lawyers, if you file a lawsuit, they didn't really want to talk money. There was no real talking about a settlement. It was all about, taking depositions and doing this and noticing it for trial and pretrial conferences and teeing it up and same with jury sets, back then. I did a lot of criminal, but I remember 1983, I picked 18 juries. I tried 15 jury trials in 1983.
Wow.
Now, all those weren't personal injury, truthfully, but then as time went on, I probably averaged throughout the 80s, probably at least three personal injury jury trials. Now, you had court hearings. There's always court hearings, motions for summary judgment, motions in limine, pretrial conferences, case management conferences, motions to compel. So we had those, but I'm talking about a jury trial where you go in and you're picking a jury, they hear the case, they decide a verdict. So at that point, managing a practice 3 in 1 year was really a lot because you just don't tee up and go to trial. I mean, there's so much work that you have to do with doctor's depositions and deadlines and jury instructions and verdict forms. There's a lot of spinning plates. So that was back then. Now, I would say it all depends on the lawyer, but there's many lawyers who've been out a long time who've never gone to trial. I mean, there's plenty of lawyers that have been out 10 and 15 years that maybe haven't had a jury trial. Or very few.
That's so
and
interesting.
Why is that? And here's the reason why I got board certified early on. I've been board certified since 1993. And to be board certified civil trial lawyer, there's lots of requirements, but one of the basics was you had to have 15 jury trials under your belt. And so once I hit 15, I had to pass an exam and do a lot of things, but for a young lawyer starting out now to get 15 jury trials would take forever because of some changes in the system. So what is it? What is the difference? Why are there so much fewer jury trials today than there were back then? And there's three answers. There's actually three answers, not one answer. Number one is around 1986, they instituted what's called the loser's pay rule in Florida. And when it first came out, either lawyers didn't really know about it much or it wasn't really utilized that much. And then it gained popularity to where it's very common today. But basically, what the loser's pay rule says is this. There's a formula. So let's say the insurance company offers my client $100,000. My client's really injured, but my client thinks the case is worth more than $100,000. So in a special written, it's a special piece of pleading. I mean, it's not just like a letter. There's a formal pleading called a proposal for settlement. And it says, plaintiff, we're offering you $100,000. You have 30 days to accept this. If you reject it and we go to court and you, the plaintiff, get 25% less than this amount, so let's say less than $75,000, then you, the plaintiff, the individual person who may have been rear-ended, would have to pay the insurance company's attorney's fees and costs. So if they file 100 and say the jury says 50, well, obviously, that's way less than 25% of the offer, but the insurance company's attorney's fees and costs are going to be way more than $50,000. So you could be rear-ended. The jury could say $50,000, so it sounds like you won a small amount of money, but you really lost. And the judge could say, well, you know what? You know, the jury said 50, but the insurance company spent $100,000 on this case. Sir, I'm going to take the 50 from the 100. You now owe the insurance company that you sued $50,000. That's pretty sobering. So when you first tell your client, their eyes bug out and they go, what?
Really? That's crazy.
That's the law. It's sobering. But it was put there not by accident. It was put there intentionally by the legislature and the Supreme Court to do what? To limit the amount of cases going to court. And it's worked because the average citizen who's all geared up, oh, that $100,000 is not enough. My life is ruined. Let's go to court, Mr. Gross. Let's go. And well, it's good to say that because they know that they got me in a contingency. So if I lose, they owe me nothing. And if where my costs are, if we lose, they owe me nothing. But all of a sudden, they got skin in the game. I have to tell them, oh, by the way, sir, they've offered 100. I agree with you. I think it's too low. But if the jury comes, if the verdict is less than 75, unless 25% less than 100, then you're going to owe potentially the insurance company money. And it's sobering. And all of a sudden, these people that are all gung-ho to go to court start getting cold. People, I don't have the money. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to, you know, and all these other things. And all of a sudden, you know, so it has worked. Now, it's a two-edged sword because, you know, likewise, I, the plaintiff, could file one. And if I get 25% more, then the insurance company has to pay my attorney's fees and costs. So a great example was about 2014 or 15, I was in Santa Rosa County. And I had a case, and I would have taken $100,000. They offered $40,000. So they filed one for $40,000, meaning if the jury came in at $30,000 or less, we were in trouble. I filed for one for $100,000, so which means if the jury came in over $125,000, they were in trouble. But the jury came back at $250,000. So the jury said $250,000, but the judge gave me $117,000 on top of the $250,000. So we actually ended up getting a check for $367, even though the jury said $250, because it's a two-edged sword. So it came out to our advantage because we filed that thing. But because it's so sobering, when the person's all of a sudden, wait a second, it just takes like, you know, a lot of people really like to play poker and they pay nickel, dime, quarter and they're having fun. But all of a sudden, if it's not nickel, dime, quarter, and all of a sudden you're paying for 100 here and 200 there, a lot of people say, oh, I don't know if I want to be doing this. This ain't so much fun. Well, that's what happens. But the stakes go up, the cost of poker goes up once these written offers are filed. And it's pretty scary. I've had cases where it looks like, you know, we're just butting heads, and all of a sudden I file one of those proposals, and within 30 days they pay, because now they got to go back to the insurance company, and the lawyer's going to say, and then the insurance company's going to be asking the defense lawyer, well, what are the odds of this? What are the odds of that? And you're trying to guess what some unknown jury's going to do. So most defense lawyers are going to cover themselves. They don't want to tell the insurance company, oh, there's no way Gross is going to get 25% more than that. They don't want to be the guy, because if I go to court and get it, then they're going to get a lot of mud on their face. So they may say, well, it could happen, and if you're willing to gamble, we'll go to court. But, Gross has filed this thing, and you got 30 days, and sometimes they pay it.
Wow.
And that's what happens. So because of that one rule, A lot of cases are now settling that never would have settled before.
Very interesting.
I told you three reasons. That's one. So we'll call that the loser's pay rule. Now, what is the other reason? The other reason is called mediation. Now, this is a term that some of us have heard. A lot of people really don't know what it means. They think they know what it means, and they really don't. They confuse mediation with arbitration. Arbitration is actually contested. You know, there's not much personal injury arbitrations anymore. When I started out, I arbitrated a lot, especially uninsured motorist cases, because it was in their policies. But where we hear arbitrations now, you hear it with maybe labor, but you hear it really with athletes. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the athlete wants $200 million for his contract, and the baseball team or football team only want to watch, as Hunter said, to go to arbitration. Well, arbitration, the arbitrator decides. It's not like kumbaya. The arbitrator says, okay, I've heard everything, and I think $150 million is good for your five-year contract, you know, to play baseball, whatever it is. So that's arbitration. Mediation, the glorified settlement conference. Mediation is where you go. Everybody's there. So what happens is the plaintiff's lawyer is there with the client. The insurance company is there. And if you're in a lawsuit, which normally is the case, there's going to be a defense lawyer. Sometimes the actual defendant is there. But more importantly, you have a mediator. There are lawyers in this community that all they do is mediate. They're referees. They are, and they're very good. These guys are diplomatic, and what they're trying to do is diffuse things, because sometimes there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot, you know, maybe the lawyers don't like each other. Maybe there's been a lot of vitriol going back and forth, and the client, maybe the client's got unreal expectations. Maybe the insurance company has unreal expectations. So these mediators try to diffuse these things and put doubt in both sides, and they go back and forth, back and forth. But the only way the case settles at mediation is if both sides agree to it. And most mediators will start out at the beginning of mediation and say, listen, if you're looking for a home run, it's not going to happen at mediation. Home runs only come in the courtroom. But I don't know if you remember Reggie Jackson. Can you remember who Reggie Jackson was?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, he was a great baseball player, I believe, for the New York Yankees. Was a big power hitter.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of home runs, but he struck out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He really swung at that ball. So either the ball was leaving the park, or he struck out a lot.
Right.
But he also had big hits. So that's the thing about going to court. You go to the courtroom, you can hit that home run. You can ring the bell, and I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ring the bell. And hit that home run, but while you're trying to hit that home run, you may strike out. And there's no competent lawyer. If you're a lawyer and you've been trying cases like I have, I don't know any lawyer that's tried a lot of cases that hasn't lost cases. It just happens. And many a good lawyer. And you could blame the jury, you could blame the client, you could blame a lot of things, but, you know, of course I've lost cases. So long as you understand that going to court is a big gamble, I'll tell you a true story. So this was also Milton. This was back in the 1980s. And I'm representing this guy that had arthroscopic shoulder surgery from an accident. And the number I had in my head for this case was $75,000. Back then, I thought $75,000 was a good value. The insurance company only offered $35,000. Take it or leave it. My bottom was $75,000. Now, truthfully, had there been mediation back then, that case probably would have settled for $55,000. Think about it. They're at $35,000. I'm at $75,000. You sit in a room for 4 hours together with an effective mediator. He's going to bend you, and compromise. And who can call it that close? And probably you go out and sell for $55,000. But there was no such thing. So now we're in the courtroom, and the case is beginning. And it was a big courtroom in the old courthouse in Santa Rosa. Big Judge Lowry was the judge. And I looked back in the audience. There was only one person sitting all the way in the back. He's watching the case. And I finally figured out he must be the insurance adjuster, because they come sometimes on cases just to watch. So at a break, I go up to the guy. And I said, I guess you're the money man. You got the money for this case. He started laughing. Yeah, I'm from wherever he's from, Michigan. He goes, looks like you're doing pretty well. And he looks at me and he asks me the oddest question. He goes, Gross, that's a Jewish name? I said, well, not really, but yeah, I am Jewish. And he goes, well, I'm Jewish too. And we just sort of hit it off. You know, I guess he had an instinct that I was. And we're just talking. And the case is, we're only halfway through the case now. This is at a break. And he looks at me and he goes, do you think $100,000 would settle this case? Now, remember, I wanted $75,000. We're offered $35,000. And he goes, would $100,000 settle this case? And I'm trying to keep a straight face. I mean, I'm sitting there playing, keeping my poker face. I'm thinking, holy God. So I go back to my client. I said, listen, I just talked to the money man here. He's wanting to call it quits right now. We don't have to go, you know, finish this case. We could be done without the jury deciding this. They've offered you $100,000, dude. And he goes, I think things are going our way, Mr. Gross. I think that adjuster, he's feeling that it's going our way. I want to proceed. I think we're going to do better than $100,000. Otherwise, they wouldn't be offering $100,000. I said, sir, you never know what a jury's going to do and their burden in hand. My recommendation is to take this $100,000 and just not be greedy. And I didn't tell him this, but I was thinking, using a poker adage, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And I was thinking that, but I didn't say anything. So I didn't say anything to this guy. And so I go back to the adjuster, said, my client turned it down. He goes, really? I said, I recommended it, dude. You know, so whatever. So we keep on trying the case. He goes to the jury. Now, you got to understand, the jury knows nothing about negotiations. They get to hear the whole case. Juries are not allowed to know what was offered. They don't get to know what I demanded. They don't know none of that. Okay? They had no clue. You want to guess what that jury gave us in the verdict? You want to guess the verdict?
Gosh, I don't know.
$55,000. Can you believe it? The
wow.
Jury comes back right in the middle without knowing any of those numbers, and they award us $55,000. So, the next day, I had to fly out to Las Vegas. I'd already pre-planned to go out there, and I was kind of a blackjack player. So I go out to Vegas, and I'm sitting there at a table, and a lady comes up to me, and she goes, how you been doing? I mean, you know, like gambling-wise. How you doing, you know, gambling-wise? And I go, well, I lost $45,000 yesterday.
Oh, no.
It's just my sense of humor, because I did. I left $45,000 on the table.
Oh, gosh.
The adjuster office, $100,000. Yeah. So she goes, wow, you must be a bad gambler. You know, but I didn't really give her the whole story. But anyway, that's the point about the mediation. So I know that's a long story, but the point I wanted to make was, mediation was, that case would have never gone to trial had we had mediation. I tried a case with another guy. He actually ended up being Judge Krongard. He was a lawyer at the time, but he ended up being a federal judge. They offered me $11,000 on a small whiplash. I wanted $15,000. We went all the way to jury trial.
Wow.
That would never happen today. It would settle for $13,000 or whatever, but it would never go to court. But we actually did a full-blown jury trial, and that jury gave me $42,000. So I would have taken $15,000, and the jury gave us $42,000.
Well, it's clear that you love the law, sir. And we've got down to about 2 minutes left. We're talking with Terrence Gross at Gross & Schuster. So I just want to give you a heads up. We've got about a minute or two left. And if anyone wanted to reach out to you.
Yeah, you can call 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com. And we will be more than happy to speak with you about any type of injury case. We have 5 offices. And I have my sons in practice with me, but we have our principal office here right on the corner of Palo Fox and Savannah's. We have a great office in Milton that we see a lot of people at. A lot of our listeners see us in Milton, and we're in Crestview, Fort Walton, in the bar. But 434-3333 or grossandschuster.com.
Okay, so great talking to you this morning, Terrence Gross with Gross and Schuster. So how many jury trials are you doing now?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's probably my son and son-in-law are going to try one probably in the next 2 weeks. But, it probably for me, maybe once every 3 years.
I went from
three a year to about once every 3 or 4 years, maybe.
That's incredible.
Because of these rule changes. That's what happens.
Well, that's really incredible. It's always so fascinating to have you on the show, Terry. You're always full of so much interesting information and background. I had no idea about the jury trial, so this is particularly interesting today. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
Thank you, and I enjoy it, and we'll be back in a week or two. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster. And again, you can contact them if you need an attorney. He's clearly one of our experts on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And that's what you're listening to right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.